Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross alongside Wes Reynolds. We are here at South Point Casino in fabulous Las Vegas. We have breaking news. Before we get to the NBA, I just saw the, you know, you get the old crawl. I say breaking news in air quotes, people. Look, we talked about this over the weekend. Amal Shaw and I were doing the show when Tyson Fury said he was going to retire. It was going to be it. Heavyweight champion of the world. Made over $30 million for his win against Dillian White on Saturday at Wembley Stadium. It was fascinating. Then Francis Ngannou got in the ring afterward. And went, well, what's Francis Ngannou doing in there? Francis Ngannou says, and this is the breaking news, he's 70% sure that his next fight will be inside the squared circle of boxing against Tyson Fury in 2023, but what caught my attention was elements of MMA involved in said bout. Wes Reynolds, if you had said a number, now I don't know what that means, because I need to know what those particulars are. If there's no kicking, am I allowed to check?
Yeah, is it just like Muay Thai?
Right. Clinch? Could we get in the clinch?
Because if it's just Muay Thai, I would still obviously favor Tyson Fury. And look, if it's a pure boxing match, we know with all due
respect. What's the number? Pure boxing match, what's the number?
With Ngannou against
Tyson Fury. I say 700.
Fury.
I say Fury minus 700.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I would say, you know, 600-700. Because what was Mayweather? Remember what Mayweather was over McGregor?
Yeah.
Now, this would not draw the handle, obviously, that that did. But people were betting Conor McGregor, cutting in line to bet Conor McGregor at, like, plus $3. I mean, that was one of the biggest bets I ever made when Floyd Mayweather got to, like, minus $4. I'm like, let me get this straight. You're giving me the greatest fighter of the era in a boxing match at only minus $4 against a guy that's never fought in a boxing match with pure boxing rules. Okay, I'll go ahead and lay that. So, look, that would be an obviously light work for Tyson Fury, with all due respect to Ngannou, who's a very tough man. But in a boxing match, Tyson Fury would piece that guy up. I don't know if he's quite retired yet, but he's maybe looking at the landscape. Look, he gets to go out on top if he wants to do that, winning in Wembley Stadium.
Oh, what a way.
You know, with that huge atmosphere on Saturday afternoon here on the West Coast, Saturday night over there in London. But does he want to wait and see who wins that rematch between Usyk from the Ukraine and Anthony Joshua? Mm. Usyk, remember, beat Anthony Joshua. And look, if Joshua were to win that rematch,
well,
obviously, Joshua, I think, is a much bigger star than Dillian White.
No doubt.
So a Fury-Joshua match would sell out pretty much any stadium in the United Kingdom. So you got to think maybe that's on the table, and that means a lot more money. There's a lot of ways for Fury to make money. We know he has a relationship with WWE and has done some stuff with them, so that's an easy several million bucks based on what they're getting on their television contracts and whatnot and streaming and the like. So Fury, I don't know if he's quite done. Maybe he takes some time away. And look, nobody's ever, I guess, really retired in the sport of boxing.
Not at all. And again, you would, there's so many things and obstacles to, before you really broke it down from a handicapping perspective. What are the ounces of the gloves? Are they 8 ounces, 10 ounces, 12 mm-hmm. ounces? If you remember mm-hmm. in the Mayweather fight, you could see that it felt like there were giant pillows on the hands right. of Conor McGregor, and he wasn't used to that. You could see just the way he was throwing his punches. It's different from MMA. So mm-hmm. a lot of obstacles to get there. I do think that fight could eventually happen. And I actually do take it seriously because Ngannou is just that big and ferocious as a puncher.
And but that would be probably the most money that Francis Ngannou had ever made in a fight. I mean, Conor McGregor made, what do they call, FU money.
In that fight against Floyd Mayweather.
So, you know, just more money than you can ever dream of, you know, based on fighting in mixed martial arts with as many people as UFC has under contract.
Yep.
You keep those salaries under control. So, yeah, and Ngannou, absolutely. He's like, yeah, I'll fight him. I know if it's
give
a boxing match.
Million.
I know if it's a boxing match, I'm probably going to get pieced up, but I will take that money and retire very happily. Thank you very much.
I'm a big tent guy when it comes to combat sports. If you want to see crossover, I'm always fascinated by it. I will not be one of those people that go, oh, I won't watch. I will absolutely watch.
Yeah, of course.
And we'll break it down here on VSiN if that fight is allowed to be bet on. As the Floyd fight was, I'm assuming this would be too. It would be a show. It might not be very competitive, but it would be a show, that is for sure. We have real breaking news in the NBA. This might affect some wagers for tonight. The Bulls number went from 10 to 12. Wes, you know why that number's on the move.
Yeah, that game, by the way, is going to be tomorrow evening. Game 5 up in Milwaukee Bucks with a 3-1 lead. We are now seeing 12 across the board. 11.5 still at BetMGM. Zach LaVine listed as doubtful. Health and safety protocols. I don't have any more details than that, but COVID-19, the likely culprit here. So I don't know how that worked. It just says health protocols, doubtful for Wednesday. And look, we knew that the Bulls were up against it anyway. They won that game, too, because they hit pretty much every mid-range yep. shot against Milwaukee. And then Milwaukee really, you know, kind of backhanded them in really both the Friday night game and the Sunday afternoon game up there in Chicago. So Bucks obviously in very good position to close this out and advance against Boston. Those were actually my two series bets, Boston and also Milwaukee minus 2.5 minus $1.75, because I wanted to take that insurance where it's like they may not sweep these guys. So, yeah, I got to lay a little bit more vig, but it looks like the Bucks should very well be on to their semifinals, whether LaVine goes or not.
And that would be an amazing matchup potentially against the Boston Celtics, but they do have business to take care of and seems like a very shrewd move on your part because it feels like the gentleman's sweep is coming tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Let's get to the breaking news that I referred to for the NFL draft, which, of course, is 48 hours away right here in Vegas. And, you know, I think it's fair of certainly GMs. They have to do their due diligence on players. And they got to figure out, do you love the game? Are you all in it? Mm-hmm. Do you have other things going on that might affect where and when we draft you? I think all those things are fair questions internally to ask. But when these reports get out to people like ourselves in a betting community are talking about them, they could have detrimental impacts to said player. And this is what one offensive coordinator in the NFL told Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer on Matt Corral. And I quote, he's got off-field questions. He's kind of a mess. I'm not sure you want him leading your program. His issues aren't the kind solved by giving millions of dollars. A rumpf. That is, and look, it's one unnamed mm-hmm. NFL offensive coordinator, okay? We had heard questions about Matt Corral that had nothing to do with that. We had heard questions like, well, he's coming off a bad injury. We know he's a gamer, wanted to be out there, got hurt in his bowl game. How is he going to respond? And then we hear, well, he's coming from a system in Lane Kiffin. Is it really going to be a pro system? Does he have the big enough arm? Well, then when you hear a report like that, I wonder if that's going to make teams shy away. And certainly this plays into how many quarterbacks potentially could be selected in the first round, which right now is at 3, 3.5 market wide. What do you make of the report, and what do you make of Matt Corral?
Can I add a couple comments that we did not mention there in that SI piece, too? This was a sampling of Breer source comments. You said the he's kind of a mess. Quote, unquote, he got into a fight with one of Wayne Gretzky's kids in high school that led to his transferring, and there had been questions about his maturity his first couple years at Ole Miss. Now, I have no idea if this is true. We're just a reporter here.
Mm-hmm.
We're not making a case here. But look, if he got in one of the fights with one of Wayne Gretzky's kids, One of those kids now has a brother-in-law, big, long, tall Dustin Johnson, who officially got married to the lovely Paulina, yes. Wayne Gretzky's daughter, this weekend down there in Tennessee. So maybe old cuz might want a piece of this guy. I don't know. But and then you hear he's a big party guy. I have no idea if this is true or false. I just look at the football stuff, really, and that's what kind of stands out to me. And look, this was a guy that was predominantly a zone read quarterback. Mm-hmm. And we know that there's elements of the zone read. There are now elements of the college game that come into the pro game now in terms of offense, right, with certain quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes has shown that ability. Josh Allen. You have to be able to be at least a little bit mobile. Look, you can still be a pure pocket passer if you're Tom Brady or if you're Peyton Manning, but those guys now in the college game are kind of few and far between because everybody's running this spread offense or a little bit of this zone read. So you don't necessarily get as many pure pocket passers as you might have 10, 15, 20 years ago and beyond. So I think that's a little bit of the concern of the fact that, you know, this guy ran that offense and he had a pretty good play designer and play caller in Lane Kiffin. As much as people like to kind of say, oh, Lane's kind of a quirky, weird personality or whatnot, he's a pretty good offensive line. And right, I think he's proven that in his time in college, not only here at Ole Miss, but of course on Nick Saban's staff at Alabama. He went to the Betty Ford Center of College Coaches. Mm-hmm. That's where you go to get rehabilitated. You become a coordinator. Then all of a sudden you get a head job when you win a national championship. So, you know, I don't know how much of this is true. The reports were that he had a 15 on the Wunderlich, and that was the lowest of what are graded widely as the top 12 quarterbacks. So, you know, we shall see. But like I said, everybody's board is different. Somebody out there probably likes that guy, and that's what worries you, that maybe there's going to be a trade-up, especially if you like the under for the quarterbacks. I still think he's probably a high to middle second round guy. I don't think he's the guy that's going to go in the first round or be that third quarterback. I would think it's maybe going to be Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, it feels like that. Look, historically, and again, sometimes I remember when Johnny Manziel was coming out of Texas A&M, and a lot of the same things are being said. And I remember then it was about autographs, but people were concerned about his off the field. And the defenders of Johnny Manziel said, oh, come on, you guys are just saying all this stuff. He was a first-round pick, if you remember, by the Cleveland Browns. That did not work out. And he ended up having a ton of well-documented off-the-field issues. Another one, we can go way back to the 80s, Dan Marino. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of questions about Dan Marino.
Yeah, he didn't have a very high Wunderlich.
Right, and all of a sudden, Dan Marino worked out just fine, I'm pretty sure, making it to the Hall of Fame first ballot with Miami Dolphins. So the point there is, you're going to hear a lot of things, and some of them may play out to be true, and some of them may be sophomoric things that you do as a kid, and you do grow up and get it, and now you're in an adult big boy league. Those are questions, but they're fair questions to ask. Mm-hmm. If you are certainly a GM or a head coach and you have to evaluate a player like Matt Corral.
Now, sometimes you wonder where this comes from, too. Is this a rival quarterback's agent putting this out
right
there? You hate to be cynical, but you kind of have to be, and that's what the NFL draft is. There's a lot of information out there and a lot of misinformation, and it obviously affects where these guys are going to be picked.
We'll talk more about the NFL draft, certainly, when we come back here, because I want to get into not just the quarterbacks, but also the running backs and beyond, who might be the first one of those skill sets to go in Thursday's draft. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Lombardi Line, Dave Ross, Wes Reynolds coming at you here from South Point Casino in Las Vegas. We were talking about the quarterbacks in the NFL draft. We were talking about the reports on Matt Corral, maybe some off-the-field issues according to an unnamed offensive coordinator in the NFL saying, quote, he's a mess. Now, very quickly, I just want to wrap up the QB talk here because the odds to be the first quarterback selected, it feels like that's going to be Malik Willis. He's minus $1.55 here at BetMGM. Kenny Pickett is second at plus $1.30. Desmond Ridder is 8-1 to be the first quarterback selected. Corral at 16-1. But you and I were just having an interesting conversation. Sam Howell at 40-1. Now, I don't think he can leapfrog the other guys and be the first guy in a long shot to win that, cash that ticket. Mm-hmm. But to be a first round pick, is Sam Howell, did he? Because look, if he came out of UNC a year earlier, if he was, he would have been a top five pick. But last year, really down year at right. Carolina. Does you think that soured people enough to go, Sam Howell, I don't know that he's a first-round talent.
You know, maybe. I could see him maybe going over Corral. I still don't know if you're going to see more than three quarterbacks in the first round. I mean, we know Willis and Pickett are probably going to go somewhere, but there's such a variance. Like, even if you look at a lot of these mock drafts, which, you know, are a large, I think, part of the blind movement here. Yeah. And everybody kind of follows that to try to get the best of the number and beat the bookmaker to move in the number. You know, you look at like Kiper, you know, says Malik Willis is going 6 overall in his mock draft. And then Peter King in his latest mock draft where he put Walker, and that was part of the reason for the movement on Trayvon Walker. He put him first overall. King didn't even have Willis going in the first round. Wow. And had Pickett as the only quarterback going in the opening round. So there's so much variance here on these quarterbacks. I think you got to think, okay, Willis and Pickett are going to go somewhere. I don't know if they're going top 10. We were talking about that during the break. I could see 11 through 20. Maybe these teams don't want to, you know, it's like, are these the guys that we want to give up all these future second-round picks?
Right, and a fifth-round option
Do we want to give these up for these guys necessarily? And I don't know if they do. So that's why I think you kind of ballpark it and maybe like meet in the middle where mm-hmm. maybe these guys go in the mid-teens or in the early 20s. I think that this is just so unpredictable. And that's why I have none of these bets in terms of the quarterbacks. And I know that's always the kind of sexy thing because we know that – that's what moves the needle,
no doubt,
at least a little bit. Everybody wants to talk about him, but this is just not that great of a quarterback class. So that's why I've really stayed away, because the first logical destination you would say for a quarterback, okay, which team
Carolina.
Really, you know, yeah, Carolina number 6. And it was like, we thought, okay, Kenny Pickett, he might go there. And then it's like, okay, are they souring on him a little bit? So I wish I could give like a definitive answer of like, okay, where these guys are going to go. I have no idea.
Well, the problem with Pickett, small hands, mm-hmm. smells like cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really bad Austin Powers. But you see there, and this is the problem. We're measuring guys' hands. We're trying to figure out, do we have off the field issues with certain quarterbacks? So again, 3.5 is where that number is set. It's juiced heavily to the under at 250. We do not recommend, but normally laying 250, and I would not. I'm not telling you that's what to do, but I'm with you, Wes, on this. It feels like 4 is too many, because once the run on receivers, and that run on receivers will happen about midway through this draft, probably starting right around that 10-11 area, and once that run on receivers goes, look for 6 or 7 of those guys to go in the first round. I'd be stunned if 4 quarterbacks are taken in the first
round. Yeah, and that's why it's so hard maybe with this class, because You want to win right now. I mean, you don't want to be like a wait till next year type of deal, but obviously the free agency market for quarterbacks is a lot better next year. the draft market could be. You could have a Bryce Young.
Right.
You could have a revitalized Spencer Rattler down there at South Carolina. I hadn't even gone through all the college quarterbacks.
It's a better class coming in next year for sure.
Yes, absolutely. So it's like, okay, do we just go with what we got? Like if we're Carolina, do we just go with Sam Darnold knowing that he's a free agent next year and we may not bring him back? Or if we do, it's going to be at a reduced rate. Then we can go draft our guy, or then we can go maybe sign a free agent in the offseason.
Normally, you know, rules of journalism is when you're having a conversation as a journalist, you have to ask a question. One of my pet peeves is when you ask two questions at once. I'm going to break the rule and I'm going to ask you two questions in one. And it's about the running back position, because it feels like Breece Hall is the guy minus 250 to be the first running back selected. My first question is, will it be Breece Hall, or could there be any surprise here with maybe Kenneth Walker out of Michigan State? And my second part question, which I hate asking two-parters, is Breece Hall a first rounder? Because it feels like the position is devalued. Doesn't mean he is not worthy of a first round pick.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a tough market to bet, too, because the running back has kind of gone the way of the Edsel in the NFL, because it used to be, okay, there are three or four running backs that are going to get drafted.
Ezekiel Elliott went fourth overall not that long ago.
Right. So it's like they want to devalue this position so much, and it has been, but it's almost like you have a luxury if you have a really great one, like the Indianapolis Colts with Jonathan Taylor right now, as he might as well be the best running back in the league, although Derrick Henry certainly has something to say about that. But yeah, I tend to think, you know, that the market has this right. I think every mock has kind of said that Breece Hall was the best running back in terms of how he worked out of this pro day and whatnot. I don't know if he's a first rounder or not. I think maybe they'll be. If he is, it's going to be very late.
Well, and that's what the graphic shows us, right, Wes? Again, if you're watching, but you're just listening on VEASAN here, the running back right now juiced plus $1.50 for a half running back taken in the first round, i.e., is Breece Hall
but
a first rounder?
But this isn't like last year where I think everybody kind of had Najee Harris going in the first round, and everybody thought Pittsburgh, and that's ended up where he was because they didn't have a running back, an incumbent starter. So, you know, that felt like the logical spot. There isn't like that one spot that's just like standing out to me where it's like, okay, they have to have this guy. This is where he's going to go. And that's what concerns you if you're betting this prop necessarily. But look, Hall, I think, had really good numbers. He's a good receiver out of the backfield, good runner with patient, outstanding vision, ran sub 4.4 at the combine, very good on his vertical, on his broad jump, heavy workload for that Iowa State program. Kenneth Walker was kind of a one-year deal, you know, coming from Wake Forest and then going to Michigan State, winning the Doak Walker, winning the Walter Camp, the player of the year. So That's the thing on Kenneth Walker of why I wouldn't rate him above Breece Hall, because he's a little bit limited in terms of getting the ball out of the backfield. And we know that's what you've got to be in the NFL. You can't just be, you know, a run between the tackles guy and a tackle breaking machine. You've also got to catch passes.
And again, in a league now in the NFL where normally you have to have two running backs, unless you're Tennessee perhaps here, Breece Hall feels like an every down back, and maybe Kenneth Walker, some of these other guys we're looking at here, are going to be situational running backs. Mm-hmm. So that's why it feels like when you're handicapping this thing, Breece Hall is the only guy that has a realistic shot of going in the first round. So if you want to play that over plus $1.50, that means you're saying Breece Hall is a first rounder, because I can't see the Isaiah Spillers or any Kyron Williams in the like going in the first round here. Those guys are going to be either second rounders or day twoers in my estimation here when you really break down the running back position. It feels like Hall or bust. We're going to have Soren Petra on in the next segment to talk about Kansas City. We believe they'll get a wide receiver at some point. So I want to save that conversation for Soren in the next block. But I do want to get to offensive linemen, because what I do feel like what's happened here, Wes, is if you and I had this conversation a month ago, when you look at the likes of Neal and Ekwonu for sure, we thought these guys were lock top five guys, if not number one overalls. And now all of a sudden, because we talked about how the game is changing, and the perception is you got to have edges, receivers, edge rushers, are offensive linemen, tackles, are they actually being slightly devalued? Because back in the day, these guys, you could have made a case for 1 and 2 with Aquano and Neal.
Yeah, you very easily could. And I think when Jacksonville franchised Robinson, then Neal became, you know, okay, that's not likely destination, even though it's like, well, they could strengthen a string necessarily. Right. But look, Jacksonville and Detroit and these two teams, they're drafting 1-2 pretty much in every round the rest of the draft. So they kind of control, being the first pick of each round, the direction of each round for the draft. So it's like, okay, if we don't get a tackle in the first round, we can obviously get one in the second round if we so choose. We've been hearing for Detroit, you know, a couple other logical points where maybe it's Hutchinson or maybe it's Sauce Gardner, who is a Detroit native, if they can maybe find the next Jeff Okuda, who I think has been really effective for Detroit when he's been on the field.
But
yeah, exactly. So that's why you've seen these linemen, I think, dip a little bit. I don't think they're going to dip that far. I think Ekwonu, look, he could easily go 4 or 5 to the Jets or Giants. That seems like
Like the Giants, right? And Brian Dable in
there. Because they did draft Andrew Thomas a couple years ago. So it seems like, okay, we got to get some protection for Daniel Jones or whoever our quarterback is going to be for the Giants under first-year coach Dable. So you could see tackle going there. I think, you know, all these guys, especially those first three guys, Ekwonu, Neal, Cross, probably going to be gone by, you would think, at least the top 15 picks.
I'm right there with you. And again, we talked a little bit about it in the first hour. When you look at corners and you see Sauce Gardner there, minus $5 to be the first corner selected, that's actually not the worst thing that could happen to Derek Stingley Jr. Because once the best corner goes, and he's going to go quickly, Sauce Gardner, you would think in the top five, that means other people are going to go, oh, now I got to get Stingley. I'd be stunned if both these guys make it to double digits in this draft. I think they can both have a good chance to be top
10. Both corners?
Yep.
Yeah, I think both of them are going top 10.
I agree with you there. When we come back, Soren Petro is going to join us from Kansas City. What are the Chiefs going to do with an abundance of picks all of a sudden? We'll discuss when you come back with us. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The VSiN betting experts have put together everything you need to bet on the draft this week. The VSiN NFL Draft Betting Guide is mock drafts analysis for every single NFL team, odds and best bets for the first round and beyond. Get the VSiN NFL Draft Betting Guide today for only $10. Go to VSiN.com/draft. There is great information in there. Wes Reynolds, Dave Ross here at South Point Casino in Las Vegas. And Soren Petro has great information, host of the program, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren, it's great to have you back in the program, and we wanted to have you on today because I did not think we'd be talking about the Chiefs and all of their newfound draft picks after moving on from Tyreek Hill, but they do sit with two first-rounders here, albeit at number 29 and then number 30, and then they get two more in the second round and two more in the third round and two more in the fourth round. So, Soren, let's start right with the first round here with all these picks for Andy Reid and company. Does it have to be a wide receiver now to replace Tyreek Hill with one of those two first-rounders?
You know, I don't think it does. I know that's where a lot of the mock drafting, you know, from a national perspective goes, is to throw them at a wide receiver. The popular one is moving both first-round picks, or they're you know, either 29 or 30 and 50, which they have in the second round, or 50, and I think they've got 62 as well. Moving those three to get up to 10, 11, 12 and take Jameson Williams. I think the receiver is right. If they were going to move up, I think that's the guy they'd go for. But I don't think they're moving up. I think the little, you know, ugly secret about the Chiefs right now is they've been in a go-for-it mode, and they've gotten a little bit thin. The depth really isn't there. If you look at a two-deep chart of the Chiefs depth chart, you're going to find that you don't know really any of the names of anybody who's a second round or is a second stringer. And they need to improve that depth. They especially need to improve it on the defensive side of the ball. And really on defense, they flat out need starters. They've got Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster they signed to help. You know, I don't think neither one of them, the Chiefs are aware of this, are Tyreek Hill, but it goes a long way towards trying to replace some of that production. But they really don't have a starting left defensive end. They lost Tre'Davious Ward at corner. Frank Clark is not ideal at the starting right defensive end. So they have some really big needs, not just in depth, but as far as starters go, on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that's why they probably stay put in that first round. Now, moving up with some of those extra picks they've got in other rounds in you know, in the second and third, I think that becomes much more likely. But they need multiple starters and a lot of depth out of this draft.
Yeah, and Soren, that was kind of the first thing when I'm looking at the Chiefs' depth chart. You know, the glaring, I guess, if you want to call it weakness, you're looking at that left side, projected starters Mike Dana and Derek Nnadi at left defensive end and left defensive tackle. So looking at the Chiefs having, you know, these two first-round picks, would you expect that maybe they move up for an edge rusher if there's going to be a run on these guys? We know there's going to be the big three in the top 10 at least with Walker, Hutchinson, and Thibodeau in any order, and then Jermaine Johnson perhaps too. But there's going to be some guys there in the first round. Ebeketi from Penn State, Kyle Loftus from Purdue. Mm-hmm. Could be maybe available if they're not a run in between the mid-20s. Do you expect maybe the Chiefs would move up to get one of those rushers here in this draft?
You know, I think you hit on it. Like, every time that you know, we go through the mock drafts, there's always guys that are there that you say, okay, this fits. I think the question becomes, you know, Brett Beach said a couple of days ago at his draft press conference that by their board, and he said, listen, we don't have any quarterbacks on our board for obvious reasons, but we have 16 to 18 guys we've labeled as first-round picks. He also said 30 to 60 is where he thinks the real strength of this draft is. That, to me, says that they, you know, if they're going to get to one of those guys, that doesn't mean those guys will go 1 through 16. I think there'll be some guys that slide because, you know, the further down you go in the draft, the more you find out that people have a different view. Just see the way, you know, Walker's moving up all the way to the number one pick. I don't think that's most people's view of it, but if it's Jacksonville's, he's going to slide to the top. I think as you get down there, you know, start sliding into the teens, then there'll be some difference of opinions, and maybe a guy gets down to the 23, 24 range, and I think that's the kind of move that they make up, 29 to 24. Not really 29 to 12, 29 to 17, where a lot of people have them going. I think they know they need a couple of first-round picks. They need as many shots in those first 60 players to try to come away with starting players. And so I think if anything, it'll be moves to get more guys in the top 60, whether that's moving from 30 down to get 45 and get multiple thirds so that they can move one of their thirds back up in there. I think they want as many guys in that top 60 as they can get. And I think that makes it more likely that they will trade down than a dream scenario of either a top corner or one of their top edge guys or even a top right tackle. I think wouldn't be shocking because their starter, you know, while they rebuilt, you know, all of that offensive line last year, they did lose one of them to a patella tendon, and that's at right tackle. And so I think that's one of the spots that could be kind of a surprise. Corner, DN, wide receiver, and right tackle are the spots that they potentially have needs and potentially a starting need for each one of those positions.
You know, Soren, I'm old here, and I remember when the Cowboys traded away Herschel Walker to the Minnesota Vikings to get a haul with Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones back in the day, and it led them to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years to kind of replenish the roster, which is something I think you're alluding to at the beginning with 8 picks here in the first 4 rounds. Do you think, I know they said they wanted to re-sign Tyreek Hill, but looking at it now and not having to pay him the King's ransom to keep him in Kansas City, did they really want to sign Tyreek Hill? Or was this the plan all along? Because as you mentioned, they were getting thinner if it wasn't apparent to the naked eye.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, everybody wants to re-sign him, right? If you could re-sign him on a 5-year, $50 million deal, that sounds great, right? When it's the price that comes with doing it. And one of the things we talked about on my show all throughout the course of the year, and fans didn't want to hear it. They've had to accept it now. We talked about it. You know, I do podcasts with Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus and Jeff Chedia at NFL Network. And we were talking about this a lot this year that, look, you can just do the simple math. It doesn't fit if you're going to take Orlando Brown on a franchise tag to $16.7 million at tackle. That's jumping $13.5 million from where he was counting last year. And Tyreek Hill's going to go up $10 million. Everybody knew it was very important to him to be the highest paid receiver. You know, you're going to keep Chris Jones. You're going to keep Patrick Mahomes. You're going to keep Travis Kelce. You're going to keep all these guys. You pay Joe Tooney the highest, the biggest guard contract in the history of the NFL. All these things. And throw in Tyrann Mathieu was in that discussion at the time that you weren't going to be able to make this all work. It became pretty clear that Mathieu was going to be a stretch. And probably either Tyreek Hill or Chris Jones was going to have to go. You could keep one or not the other because you're obviously not moving Patrick Mahomes. So did they want to sign him? Yes. But I think realistically all along, they knew that they were in all likelihood not going to be able to keep him there. There did seem to be this little window of about 7 days where word was leaking out that maybe at $21.5 million, $22 million per, the Chiefs were going to get it done. They certainly weren't going to get it done at $30 million. And if you really dig into that contract, it's really more like three for $24 or $25 million that the deal actually is before you can get out from under it, at least at some penalty, not much penalty after a fourth year on that deal. I think they got to a point where they were just beyond what they knew they could make it work. And I think they also knew that the offense had gotten a little bit stale. Teams had figured out how to defend them, and they needed a different type of wide receiver. They needed a bigger, more physical wide receiver that they could hit on shorter patterns as opposed to trying to just always stretch the field. A lot of what Tyreek Hill had done for them for the previous years had been taken away this past year. I think that made it a little bit easier for them to part with him.
Soren, Chiefs still the favorite, of course, for the upcoming season, the AFC West. I'm seeing like 8-5, 9-5, a little bit less than $2 basically across the board to win this division. Everybody in this division, this is literally the wild, wild west. Everybody in this division, I think, has legitimate playoff aspirations. Obviously, you're not going to get four teams out of one division make the playoffs. But judging by the other three teams in the division, who do you think closed the gap the most with Kansas City?
I think the popular, well, closed the gap the most, obviously made the most move, was the Broncos getting Russell Wilson, right? When you get the quarterback, you're going a long way. The Raiders had a good quarterback. The Chargers have a quarterback who looks like he could be great. But the Broncos did the most closing of the gap by getting Russell Wilson. You got to like the weapons that have been added with the Raiders. The Chargers have been adding all kinds of defensive help, which was their big problem. So I think everybody got better. And maybe that's the scary part for the Chiefs, is the fact that there's no gimme on the schedule now. Everybody's got at least a competent quarterback, and everybody's got a roster that is one that can scare you. And on the defensive side of the ball, they've all got weapons. I mean, they're all ready to go up and down the field with the Chiefs and get into a scoring fest if that's what it takes. The thing that I think is interesting is I went and took the schedules and compiled them not based upon last year's record, not based upon someone's power rankings, just based upon the odds of winning the Super Bowl that each team has. And the team that's got the best chance to really come at the Chiefs is the Denver Broncos. The three games that are different on the schedule, the Broncos are far easier. They are teams that are not supposed to contend. So if you put in the odds based upon what, at least right now, the odds makers are saying, are the caliber of teams, the team that by far has the best schedule is the Broncos. And so if there's a sleeper on betting the AFC West, or if you want to take a flyer since they've got Russell Wilson now, on betting a team to win the Super Bowl, the one that's probably going to give you the best payout, the best odds. Now, I hate to say it as a guy who was born and bred here in Kansas City and is a Chiefs fan, but it's probably the Denver Broncos.
Now, there it is. The Chiefs right now, win total 10.5. So juiced a little bit to the over, minus 140, the under plus $1.15. Soren, really appreciate it. Always love talking with you. Can't wait to see what the Chiefs do in the draft. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Always my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Soren.
There he is, Soren Petro. Follow him on Twitter at the same name, at Soren Petro. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the games tonight in the NBA playoffs. Come on back with Wes and I right here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you're going to earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Plan a trip to Vegas? Well, you can convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resort properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Back alongside Wes Reynolds, I am Dave Ross. This is the Lombardi Line right here from South Point Casino in Las Vegas. Taking a look at the NBA playoff action tonight. Got a couple good game five tilts tied up at two games apiece. But the one that feels like it might end tonight is the one in South Beach. Now, before you wager on this number here, and we saw Miami open as 7.5-point favorites. It's now down to about 6.5 we're seeing here market-wide, and the total now at about 217. That's come down just a skosh from 217.5. If you want to bet Atlanta, the trend is, I don't even know if it's a trend at this point. It's just been fact for this year that you might not even need the points because they're not gonna cover and lose. If they win, they're going to win outright. Is that right. The way you see this playing out for Atlanta?
You know,
or do you think
kind of,
this could buck the trend finally?
Yeah, and look, I think Miami is going to close it out here. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to lay it, but it's tough with Atlanta right now because the offense has just been so bad. 98.3 points per game, 103 points per possession. Trae Young, a lot has been made, obviously, of Durant, but here's another all-star player that has really been poor so far in this series. Trae Young, 16.5 points a game, 7-33 from three-point range, 21.2%, only shooting 35%. From a two-point range, John Collins, of course, he was out for about a month and a half. He hasn't really quite been himself. We know Lou Williams has been out, so there's a scorer off the bench, Clint Capella, even though he is listed as questionable. You look at what Atlanta did during the regular season. They were a really elite offensive team and then a poor defensive team. In half-court offensive rating in the regular season, Atlanta led the league 101.1. And in the playoffs, they're the second worst at 92.1. That would have been 25th in the regular season, Atlanta, if they would have posted the numbers they're posting in the playoffs that they did in the regular season. So Miami clearly has flustered these guys, and that's why I think you're seeing a little bit of a dip on the total. I still think at 217, there could potentially be value. If I bet this game, that is going to be the way that I'm going to go is for the under. Even though I don't usually like to necessarily bet unders in closeout games, I think everybody kind of likes to do that. Like, okay, they've really got to slow the tempo, and we really got to shore up the defense. Well, I don't know how much Atlanta really can shore up the defense necessarily, but I just think that, you know, usually you like to go overs in those games because clearly if you get into like a foul situation, hell, we've even seen that with Phoenix and New Orleans. Whoa. Those have been slow tempo games. And then you get fouls late and all of a sudden it gets out of hand and maybe it's a blowout and the interest in defense in there. So that's what always concerns you. But it would have to be under for me in this game if I'm going to get involved. I know what Atlanta has to do. They have to try to run. Because they cannot score on these guys in half court. But sometimes a team is just better than you, and they can prevent you from doing so. And obviously, you want to watch the injury news if P.J. Tucker, who's questionable, is going to be able to go. Kyle Lowry as well. So that's two of the Heat starting five, so you certainly don't like to see that. And that's why you've seen this number. I think it opened as high as 7.5, and you've seen it dip below the key number of 7 here. And I do believe there is a key number of 7 in the NBA. There's a wide debate about that. But key numbers for me just aren't in football. They're also in basketball as
well. You know, it's interesting, too, because now if you're Miami, you don't want to really look ahead too much to the next round. But you see Philadelphia now getting pushed by Toronto, and that series is at least going to go 6 as they go back to the 6 north of the border in Toronto. If you're Miami and you're Coach Spo, you're like, hey, let's close these guys out.
Right.
And let's get rest because rest is a real thing in the second season.
Yeah, you don't really want to mess around with these guys. But, I think the Heat are probably going to close this out. I don't think I'm going to lay it, though. I want to see what's up and with the injury information, if maybe at least Tucker is perhaps going to go, because Tucker is a very good defender. He was clearly a very big key for Milwaukee
in
their championship run last year.
And again, Milwaukee, they might be able to close out their series tomorrow night against Chicago, and if they do, then they will move on to take on the Celtics, which really could be a heavyweight matchup there in the Eastern Conference. Let's go out west. We got a game five tonight back in the Chop House in Memphis. And this is getting interesting. And to me, when I look at the numbers, I look at 231.5, and I go kind of the opposite of what we were just talking about with Miami and the ATL, where it could get away late, maybe get some fouls. Let's see how that plays out. This feels like this could be obviously the pivotal game potentially of the series. And for that reason, for two young teams, Wes, I don't know how much they're going to come out carefree and, you know, lighting the place on fire here in Memphis. I kind of feel like this could be a grind in the grindhouse.
Yeah, no question about it. The situation would dictate that I do like the Memphis Grizzlies. The number would not dictate that. I would wish to lay about 4.5 or maybe 5 here. And look, Minnesota is so erratic. You can tell that this is still a very young team without a lot of playoff experience. So you get a lot of erratic performances, and that's what, you know, you've had to been playing if you've had some success betting this series. Some of the issues with Memphis, though, even though this was a team that was the clear number 2 seed in the Western Conference, they struggle a little bit in the half court. And that's why, you worry a little bit about this team, even though you would think that they're a little bit more established, but they're just as young as Minnesota.
Exactly.
And I think, youth has really been that way on the other side. Now, you got to think Ja Morant is going to perform better in this game, that he's going to step up here at home. Of course, I mentioned earlier, it depends on how Jaren Jackson Jr., if he can stay on the floor and stay out of foul trouble, because he has not been able to do so. He fouled out in game 4. He's averaged 5 fouls in this series. And you can tell when he's on the floor, Minnesota shoots a lot poor from the floor.
Right.
And the numbers really bear that out. So I think that this is a bounce back spot for the Grizzlies, but I do not like this number. And we know the numbers are razor tight as you get into the playoffs and you get a lot less variance. So probably going to keep me out of this game and maybe look for the Grizzlies live if I can lay a little bit less.
You know, for me, again, we've talked about this all series long. This is a Karl Anthony Towns game. This is a Cat game. Like, if you want to be regarded as one of the best and a superstar and not just, you know, a B-lister, if you want to be an A-lister, this is the type of game you go on the road, you make your stance, and you say, you know what, I am who we think, who you guys.
And I will say that, and I think you're absolutely right, but I will say, if you look at what Cat has done in this series, it feels like for Minnesota to really stay in this series, though, like he's got to put like almost Embiid or Jokic type numbers up for them to stay in, even though Minnesota has other scoring punch with Edwards and with D'Angelo Russell, et cetera, et cetera. But you look in the two games where he's been bad in this series, 23 combined points committed, 10 fouls and 9 turnovers and 2 really bad losses and 2 big blowout losses in this series. So a very erratic series, and I don't, 2 versus 7, probably one of the best series in the first round, and maybe the best series in the first round is what's going to be our nightcap tonight.
And that's the amazing thing. I didn't think we'd be sitting here talking about 2-2 with Phoenix and New Orleans, but here we are. And again, a lot of this is predicated on what happened in game 2 when Devin Booker went out with that hamstring. But at that point of the injury, New Orleans was winning that game in game 2, went on to win it without Devin Booker in the lineup, and he won't be there for the rest of the series, and this series is becoming much longer than Phoenix certainly would have liked. Now, it's not a must-win, obviously, whenever you have Chris Paul, and if you lose tonight, you could go back to New Orleans and conceivably still win a game 6 and a game 7, but, boy, it feels like all of a sudden momentum is going to the way of the young kids, Brandon Ingram, kind of having a coming-out party, and they're doing all this without Zion Williamson. This just feels like a dangerous team with, quote-unquote, nothing to lose.
Yeah, because, look, if there's a team that's going to get the benefit of the doubt from the market, you would think it would be Phoenix, being the defending Western Conference champions and how good Chris Paul has been, except for the last game where Jose Alvarado really got under his skin. Only 4 points, or he was like 2 of 8 from shooting or something like that for Chris Paul, but he had very minuscule numbers in game 4. So he got his double digit assist, but they were struggling a little bit on offense, and they were ice cold from 3.
Right.
I think they were 15.4% in game 3 and then just 24.9 in game 4. So it's like, okay, even without Booker, maybe water finds its level here and they shoot better threes. But Willie Green has kind of figured out we can go small against these guys. We can play Larry Nance Jr. At the center position. And, Phoenix, obviously, they're going to try to attack down low because it's like, okay, we're going to play big against their small and try to get DeAndre Ayton involved. But, yeah, I wonder if maybe the tide is turning in this series. And if I could get 7, and I'm only getting 6.5 right now, if I get 7, I would be interested in the New Orleans Pelicans. I just think that they figured something out, and Phoenix, you know, is trying to find a way to score here in the half court, and they really have not been able to do it against this small lineup, and they've just been shooting terribly. Maybe you get positive regression tonight, but I think Memphis, all of a sudden, they got belief, and sometimes belief is enough to carry you forward.
You know, it's amazing. A week ago, we sat here in these chairs. You could have gotten New Orleans after game one, 14-1. Now the series price, plus 235. What a difference a week and an injury makes, that's for sure. Want to thank Soren Petcho joining us here from Kansas City to break down the Chiefs draft. Will Hill, of course, listening to the New York City cast. And Wes, always enjoy the conversation as well. We got you covered all afternoon long and evening right here at VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.